We don't have a lot of time, so just bear with me. Please turn to your phones, not iPhone, but whatever phones you have, and turn on the Bible app, Romans chapter 5. Today we're going to look at verses 1 to 11, mainly 1 to 5, but we're going to touch on the whole passage, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So the last time I was talking about justification by faith in chapter 3 and 4, and chapter 4 was the example. Abraham was the example that Paul was using, and he was listening to God by faith. He left his hometown and going to an unknown. And I think it's very important. And just a few words of Romans, the book of Romans. I think it's very important that we can look at this and say, I would like to have a few words that I want you to remember. First one is the being justified first, being justified first, being transformed after. And I think this is the message in the book of Romans. Being justified first and being transformed after. And I think it's very important to, as we come into book of Romans chapter 5, because Martin Luther once said that in the whole Bible, there's hardly another chapter which can equal this triumphant test. So to him, chapter 5 is the most important. Of course, we all understand that, because we're talking about Martin Luther. He was the one turning the church around, and also his own life justified by faith and not by good works. And I think it's very important, as he said, that just like a mountain, in the slide we see a beautiful mountains. When, you know, to get there, sometimes you have to walk through a lot of, trees, bushes, tracks, and a little bit jungle, something like that, in order for you to get to the best view of the mountains. So to him, chapter 5 is just like a mountain, and 1 to 4 is just like a forest, a jungle that you have to walk through, to get there to see the whole view of this beautiful mountain that is in front of us. So chapter 5, let's look at it as we study this very important passage. So start right from the beginning. He says that we have been justified through faith. So when I was preparing this message, I was thinking about, a lot of time we assume we understand the word faith, because we don't talk much about faith versus belief. And I just wonder why the scripture describes we are justified by faith, but not describing that as justified by belief. So I was looking at the website, and I was sitting down and I thought about it. There must be something different in these two terms, belief and faith. So I was looking at the internet. I was trying to look at it and see what's the difference. So before I did that, I already knew in my heart there must be something different. Otherwise, the Bible always say justified by faith. Even though we say that we believe in God, but we always say justification is by faith, but not by belief. So I was wondering, what is the difference between faith and belief? So, and I look at the website, and people said that, faith is coming out of our spirit, but belief is coming out from our head. Know the difference? Belief is a set of things or values or a system that we pick on and say, I believe this. And we have a lot of beliefs in our lives. As you are growing up, I'm sure you learn a lot of stuff about the world, about your family, about yourself, and how you survive in this family or world. You have a set of beliefs. But this set of beliefs, how do you gather all these things? It's from knowledge, from experience. And you gather all this, how about belief in God? How did you get those stuff? You read the Bible, you pick on the verses, really speak to you. You remember all those things that is very good for you to remember. So you're starting to form some kind of belief in your heart that, God is great, God is wonderful, and whatever, we run into problem, we just need to pray, and He's going to solve all these problems for us. So this is one of the beliefs you have. So you're starting to form all these things. Just give you an example. You know, all these, you know, when I get into trouble, I just pray to God. I need to read more Bible, and then I will be okay. God, somehow we get through, and I will be just happy again. So this is your belief. And it's okay, you know, as long as nothing goes wrong, your faith and your belief, sometimes you cannot tell the difference. Think about it. Does no one challenge your belief until something goes wrong? Just like you believe, I believe China exists across the globe. Until somebody challenges you, say, oh no, I don't think China exists, you know. Then you go, oh, this guy's crazy. I don't want to talk to him. Your belief has no problem until someone challenges you. Until something's happened, your belief and your faith in the crosswalk. When does it happen? I need to talk about this because as we unfold chapter 5, I think we need to get this right in the beginning. How do you know your belief has some problems? You won't know until you get into trouble. When you're in the crosswalk, crossroad, you know, would God come out and deliver? It's the time when you lose your job, you know, you have problem with your family members, you have a problem at home, you have a problem in the society. Wow, anything is going on, you know, your health is going downhill, you don't know what is happening with your spouse, you don't know what is happening with your kids, and all these things happen, and then you are in the crossroad, and then you discover your belief doesn't work. The God that you believe in, the God that you formalize, you know, in a formula, using all this knowledge that you get from preaching, reading the scripture, going to Sunday school, you gather all this based on your personality, your value, your worldviews, all this family background, and then you form a set of belief. And then when this set of belief doesn't work, so what is wrong with this belief? Then you challenge yourself and say, maybe God doesn't work. Maybe the God I believe in is not like that. And problem. You see, a lot of people walk away from God. Not when they are, you know, having a sunshine, holiday. They walk away from God when what? They're in the crossroad. Their system of belief collapse. And the conclusion is, I cannot believe this God anymore. So either they walk away from God, they walk away from church, they said, I'm not gonna believe this God anymore. Because God abandoned me. Think about it. We always have these struggles. When we're on the crossroad, when we have a problem, when we have something that we cannot solve ourselves, then we try to use our belief to carry us through. But this belief collapses. And we find ourselves questioning of this God. Should I continue to believe in him? And that is the challenge a lot of time we face. And I think it's very important because we are justified by faith and not by belief. And I want to show you some PowerPoints. Faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. You see, the difference between belief and faith involves your investment, your whole life. You put your life into it. Believe, you don't have to. You believe China exists. You don't have to trust that. You see, when you talk about faith, it talks about your personal investment of trust. It becomes a very personal and it's very strong from your heart that you have to step into and say, I believe because I have faith in God. Faith comes out of unknown. Belief comes out from knowing. See the difference? Hebrews chapter 11. Faith always comes out from not knowing the whole thing. But you still trust, commit to it. But belief is a set of values. You think this is right, this is, God doesn't turn out, it's wrong. You think this is wrong when God doesn't come out and answer my prayer. And I think it's very important for us to see that because we are going into chapter 5 now. Justified by faith, not belief. Your belief can be changed, but not faith. It's a strong commitment of your trust, not just a set of knowledge that you think you have. So this is the difference, and I hope you get this, and we are going into chapter 5 now. Are you ready? Chapter 5. The reason I think it's important, can you go back to the slide? The last few chapters, we're talking about the righteousness of God coming upon us, coming to this world. We have a new standing before God, and all this in Christ Jesus. We have a heart that is under transformation. You see, it's a full faith, not belief, that we have a new standing before God. And this new standing gives us a new motivation, new understanding, and a new life, and new blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And I think it's very important for us to see that. And so as you look at this, it's coming into our hearts. Something is going to happen, not just outside, but always outside, inside. And now we are going to look at the blessings that we have after we are being justified in Christ Jesus. So the first point I want to share with you today from chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, the first point I want to share with you today is that we have peace with God. So peace is a quality describing a relationship that is operating, you know, in harmony. This is commonly understood as an absence of hostility. You know, the peace we are talking about, you think about it. Just imagine, we are so close to the United States. If one day their new presidents going nuts and they say, let's attack Canada. So maybe we should gear up and ready to invade Canada again in the next 2 years. So will you still be sitting here? If you know that there's going to be a war going on between these two countries, or Neon just said, we don't have a war going on. Just imagine, we have a war going on. Okay, it's going to happen between the United States and Canada. We're going to lose anyway. So what would be in your state of mind? You know, are you resting or say, I don't care. I still have a lot of peace in my heart. I'm not sure. Because outwardly, you know that there's no peace, and inwardly, you won't have that. Do you know why? Because peace is not is not something just subjective. A lot of people say, it's just a feeling that you have. No, it's not really true. Because your feelings actually based on the facts outside yourself. If these two countries, Canada and the States, are going to fight, and I don't think you will have a lot of peace in your heart. I was told just a couple months ago when Pastor Wade came back from Toronto, he told me that, you know, nowadays the housing is so expensive in Toronto and Vancouver, it's not driven by Chinese people anymore. I said, what? Pastor Stan, you are behind. Oh, no. I just left less than 2 years. I'm already behind. I do watch news. He said that, but you know, who drives up the housing price in Toronto now? It's the people from Middle East living in the States. They're so afraid of the president. They're buying houses in Toronto, just in case. And another country, do you know where? South Korea. I'm sure you have watched news, right? The tension now, North Korea. They're shooting rockets, you know, every other day just to show off fireworks, you know. And people living in South Korea, you know, maybe it's time to leave. Exodus again. You see, that sense of peace is so important. It translates into anxiety, fear, unrest. All these terminologies, you know, all these feelings you have is because you don't have actually peace in your heart. And I want you to see that this is the very first thing that we have as we are justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing we have is we have peace with God again. We don't have to be facing His, what? Wrath. And we are no longer His enemy. You see, this is very important. We always see God having wrath against God, against us. But we forget to say, to look at it the other way. We actually see God as our enemy too. All our lives, before you accepted Christ, we treat God as enemy because we do not worship Him. Just like the first few chapters of the book of Romans. And this is the problem that we have. We never find true peace until we come to know God. That's why so many people living in anxiety, you know, taking drugs, all these problems, because in their hearts, they have no peace. No true peace. Using so many skills and reading books and trying to get that and trying to calm their spirit and their hearts. It never works. Because it's not just, as I said, subjective feelings. Objectively, there's no peace until we find our Lord Jesus. So this is chapter 5. It starts telling us that this peace actually comes. When I prepared this sermon, I was reading an article from a preacher. He was saying that, you know, the peace of God is just like a huge amount of money God put into your account. You know, before God put this into my account, I only have 10 bucks. Don't tell people that. So, but He gave me $10 billion. Not Japanese yen, okay? It's UN money. What's the UN money? Anyway, a lot of money. $1 billion. It's in your account. It's in my account. Each one has $1 billion ready for you. But how many of us actually go to our bank and say, okay, let me get that. Let me get that right away. We only get $10. Sometimes we get $20. Sometimes we forget to, you know, to claim that peace of God in our hearts. So Christians, we are still living in kind of, anxious. We are kind of fearful. We kind of look in the world. We feel uncertain. We have no sense of peace. But it's already there. The objective facts already happened. But it's only the subjective, you know, we have not chosen to claim that peace from God. So the second point I want to share with you today, if you look, continue to read the scriptures, verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith, again, by faith, into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The second point I want to share with you is to have this hope again, the hope to have the glory of God again. And it's very important because everybody needs some hope. Nowadays, people are hopeless. When you are hopeless, we are in big trouble. Look around our society. A lot of people getting into drugs, homeless people, because they couldn't, well, a lot of reasons why they become homeless. But a lot of them actually have emotional problems. Do you realize that? They need help. People are losing hope. They are living in pain. Think about it. If you have no hope whatsoever in your life at this point, you will all of a sudden, what am I doing here? Hope is very important, and we are getting this back. But you need to see this is a very tricky question that we need to look at. The hope that we have, you see, the scripture described is full faith, not belief. The hope of this glory of God. If you look at chapter 3, verses 23, for all have sinned. You know that scripture, that passage. For all have sinned and come short the glory of God. And chapter 8, later on, we will see that it talks about a lot about the glory of God. Someday, we're going to enjoy the glory of God again. The reason we lost that because of our sins, that we lost that hope and that enjoyment, being with God, you know, being there to enjoy His glory, being there with Him. And this day will come. If you look at the book of Romans, you know that Paul is talking about the day will come. Let's have this hope that we will have this fully enjoy the hope of the glory of God. But now we are just tasting it. But the hope, you need to come, you need to sustain that. So we're talking about long time, you know, hoping something, you know, for a long time. That's why Paul said, well, there's tribulations. There will be suffering coming in. Look at the scriptures. You know, all of a sudden he was talking about suffering. Brothers and sisters, as we are hoping something to happen in long run, life is full of what? Joy, pain, disappointment, suffering, unexpected, and you cannot control events happen in our lives. And this is what Paul is talking about. Continue. Let's look at it. Rejoice in our suffering. Listen carefully. Rejoice in our suffering, not for our sufferings. You have to see the difference. Rejoice in our suffering. And because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, this is a journey. The hope that we have. So, I want to show you something. Because this hope is very hard to hold on to it. If you only have what? Belief. That's why I said, when you come to this crossroad, when suffering, things that you do not like, things that you do not enjoy, people that you love but you lost them, when you come to this crossroad, belief will not help you to get to the hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts. I want to show you a video now. And I want to show you this video because a lot of us, sometimes we lost sight of this hope. And I hope this video will remind you again. 5 minutes. As you can see, the hope of this glory of God is secured by what Jesus has done on the cross. If you look at chapter 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. This is the first time since chapter 1, verses 16, Paul was unfolding the gospel, the work of this salvation. This is the first time the love of God is being mentioned, and so as the word, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to let us get that the love of God actually happen in our lives, just like this piano. Just look at this as another way I want to show you. If this is the hope that someday we can connect with God again, just like before, Genesis chapter 3. That wonderful relationship that we had with God. If this is the piano, this is the hope of the glory of God. The journey that I walked to that, is through faith, not belief. If belief, I won't get there. And how do I know that piano will be there? Because the cross. Jesus died for each one of us to prove to you that this hope is already there, is available to each one of us. And I want you to see that this is the wonderful blessings that we have. We have peace with God, remove all these fear, anxieties, and give us a really positive feelings, so-called feelings, is this hope that someday we will be able to stand before God, you know, to have this wonderful relationship with Him again. But this journey takes your faith to get there. And you will be there because Jesus already died on the cross as a fact 2,000 years ago and show us the love of God already available to you and to me. And this is the reason why we have this salvation, because God loves each one of us. And He wants us to have this relationship with God again. And the last point before I close is the last verse, 11. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Rejoice in God. I think this is a very important verse to me. Many years ago, I was reading this passage in my devotions. And all of a sudden, this verse just really pops up and really hit me really hard as a pastor for some years at that time, and as a Christian all my life. And all of a sudden, this verse, very little words, rejoice in God. Many of us actually rejoice in what? God's blessings. We feel very good, we are happy, we are excited, we rejoice for what God has done for each one of us. We go to prayer meeting, you know, we look at the items, we say, oh, God is wonderful, we are rejoicing for what He has done. All the time we say we rejoice, we are happy for what He has done. But how many of us actually say, I rejoice because of God? We forget that already. Brothers and sisters, many of us, when we became a Christian, we were really happy, you know, just to have this relationship with God again. But after years, our joy depends on what He will do for you and for me. One of the blessings of being justified, according to Scripture, according to Paul, is we can rejoice in God again. We will no longer see Him as our enemies. The hatred that we have against God. We don't want to be told what to do. That kind of rebellious spirit that we have. Now we can rejoice. Instead of a hatred, we rejoice in God. Just rejoice in Him. Not because what He can do for you. You see, a lot of people lose that joy because God is not doing something for you lately. And then you lose your joy. Because your joy depends on you program yourself and say, you know, God is going to do all the mighty things for me, for this guy, for that guy. When I hear all these wonderful stories, you know, God is awesome, you know, you feel good about it. But what if I tell you, just rejoice in God for who He is? Grandparents, you know that, right? You look at your grandkids running around, they are not doing anything for you. In fact, they are doing so many things that you don't want them to do. But you still rejoice just seeing them running around. Kids maybe, but grandkids for sure. You just see them running around, you just love them to death. We don't have that anymore. Seriously. Look at ourselves, you know. When was the last time you were sitting in your room reading the Bible or you are praying and say, God, I'm so happy because of you? When did that happen? When was the last time? We are always looking for something that he is going to do for you and for me, then we will be happy. And I thank God for Paul because he reminded me, you know, just rejoice in God, not just what he has done for you and for me. And I hope that this passage will remind us again, you know, it's such a wonderful being saved, justified by God. Now, we are going into different chapters now. As I said before, being justified first, being transformed after. The next few chapters, we're going to look into God expect this transformation happen in our lives. Let's pray together. Our Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you for a wonderful passage that you wrote down through Paul. Help us to understand what are blessings that we have, the new standing before God and the new blessings, new relationship. Oh, what a wonderful things that we spend all our lives looking for. A sense of peace, a sense of hope, a sense of joy. All these are in Christ Jesus. And all these are available to us because of him. Lord, we thank you again. Looking at our own lives, we have no idea why you would save us, why you would love us as sinners, but you do. And thank you for that love. Because of that, we can be saved. Now, today, we can stand before God and have all this wonderful sense of peace, hope, and joy. Once again, we want to give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.